You would take out your Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter 1. In a few moments, we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper. Did everybody get the elements this morning as they came in? If you do not, raise your hand. Good. This morning, I want to conclude the series we've been doing on the subject of delivery. We have observed from Luke chapter 9 and verse 44 where Jesus told us to let these words sink into our ears, that the Son of Man would be delivered into the hands of men. We observed that this one Greek word is translated multiple different ways, and we don't always notice it, but it's the same word that's translated for betrayal. And so when Judas betrays Jesus, he is delivering him over with a kiss. The Jewish leadership then delivers Jesus over with chains, and Pilate delivers Jesus over to be crucified with the scourging. And last week we observed that all of that was not something that overpowered or outsmarted God. It was God's plan, and God is the one who delivered Jesus over. And it was not that Jesus was surprised or shocked, but it was his own choice as well. He gave himself, that is, he delivered himself. Well, in Galatians chapter 1, what we have is a circumstance in which Paul is writing to the Galatians about the fact that they have taken what they had received and they have distorted it. It says in verse 6, "I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel," which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. "But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed." And so Paul is saying, I taught you something. I taught you the gospel, and now somebody's changing it, and you're believing something else, and that's not acceptable. And he says, you are to be accursed for that. And you might ask, well, why? Why is it that this group's message should be any less valuable than the one that Paul delivered? And the answer is the source. If it was Paul's imagination, if it was Paul's creation, Paul says, this is what I think. If Paul was merely copying it from other people or other religions, it would have no more value than what anybody else came up with or what anybody else said. So what Paul does from here is he goes on and he explains, here's where this gospel, the one I'm teaching, here's where it came from. And that changed everything. Verse 11. "For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ." And he goes on from there all the way through chapter 2 explaining that I was not taught by the apostles. I was not taught by anybody else. Jesus himself gave me this message, and that means that this message was precious, it was crucial and important, and you weren't allowed to change it, and if you did teach anything different, you were to be accursed. Now you might wonder, what does this have to do with the Lord's Supper? This word, this Greek word, paradidomai, shows up twice in one verse, and I would suggest that the concept shows up four times in one verse in reference to the Lord's Supper. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you see, some of the Christians at Corinth had taken the Lord's Supper and they changed its significance. They had changed its meaning. They had changed its method. It had become just a feast. It had become practically meaningless. And as Paul is rebuking them for that, he's going to use this word towards the end when he talks about the night in which he was betrayed, in which he was delivered over by Judas. But see what he says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread." And what he has just said there is he's only used our word twice, but do you see how he's used it four times? Jesus delivered this message to me. I delivered this message to you. Again, he points out that on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he delivered this message. Why? Why do we partake of this? Why are we so cautious to do it every first day of the week? Why are we so cautious to put our heart and our mind into it? It's because it's more than just the meaning of what it represents. It's because the source of where it came from. Delivered to us by Jesus. Delivered to Paul. Paul delivered to them. It was written down by the Holy Spirit, handed down to us. This thing we're about to do, it's so easy for it to become rote, mindless, just the thing we do right now. But this is a divine gift. The very act itself, handed down by Jesus to us. It is our inheritance, our heritage. As we partake, we join with generation after generation after generation who have received and believed and done this very act. And Lord willing, we're delivering it to the next generations. This is not just some act. This is something that was delivered to us by God. So Paul goes on. Let us not change it. Let us not make it insignificant. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And the same way he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us partake of the Lord's Supper.